Amen. Let's continue in our worship together by turning in our word or in your bulletin to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and in our New Testament reading this evening, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul's testimony of God's grace in his life. And Apostle Paul's reflection on his guilt before God and the grace that he received from God in Christ. We learn that Paul received mercy so that Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience. Paul says that Christ's mercy on him would be a prototype or a model to those who were to believe in him after he was long and gone. Paul uses his testimony to say, if God can save me, the foremost of sinners, in his perfect patience, he can save you. But before I read our passage this evening, I'd like to quickly take a moment to provide some context to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy is a letter from the Apostle Paul to Timothy, as Kenneth said earlier. Timothy was ministering in Ephesus at the time, and he received Paul's letter. And in this letter, Paul was addressing specific issues at Ephesus. It was written from Paul's perspective as a mentor and a friend and a father figure in many ways for Timothy in the faith. Before Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, he told Timothy to remain in Ephesus so that Timothy could lead the church in Ephesus, this new church, this budding church, at least in part to protect it from false doctrine. Timothy was Paul's trusted partner in the faith. And after hearing that false doctrine was spreading in Ephesus, Paul sent this letter to Timothy, both to encourage Timothy in his ministry and to help him in his responsibility to respond to the false doctrine that was cropping up in Ephesus at the time. 1 Timothy can be summarized in two broad themes. As a book, first, it's how Timothy should respond to these false teachers, but also it was a theme that Paul was instructing Timothy and encouraging him to teach the people of God how they were to respond and how they were to conduct themselves as God's church. The false teachers in Ephesus were leading the church astray, both in life and in doctrine. And because of this bad doctrine concerning the law, false teachers were using the law and making inappropriate speculations and making rules against things like marriage and eating certain types of food. And in chapter 6, Paul says that these false teachers were motivated by vain discussion, speculation, craving for controversies and quarrels. And ultimately, they were motivated by material gain. These bad Christian practices were a result of a fundamental misunderstanding of both the law, but primarily the gospel. So in addressing a variety of these issues within this letter, Timothy was to address the importance of preaching the true gospel. The true gospel in contrast to the false teaching in Ephesus. Paul is concerned for people's souls. If anyone was to trust in anything or anyone besides Christ alone for their salvation, they were doomed. And this is why Paul is so concerned about getting the gospel right. And this is why, also, in the beginning of the letter, Paul reminds Timothy and the saints of Ephesus of his apostolic authority in his greeting. Paul is reminding them that Jesus has commissioned him to go and preach the true gospel. And in verses 12 through 11, after the greeting, Paul goes on to warn Timothy against the dangers of false teaching regarding the law and the gospel. And then in verse 11, in verses 12 through 17, the section is structured like a valley between two mountains. This is going to be the focus of our reading this evening, verses 12 through 17, where on one side, Paul is thanking God for the strength that Christ has given him for his apostolic ministry. But on the other side, he's also praising him for his conversion. And in the middle, there's this valley where Paul reflects on his own sinfulness, on his own weakness, and his own undeservedness. And that's where God's patience is highlighted in Paul's life. We'll see here in a minute. So Paul's past and the low point in his life was that he was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor of Christ and an insolent opponent of the church. But this serves, Paul uses it to highlight God's grace in his life. And because of Christ, Paul experienced the life-giving wind of the Spirit that brought life to his dry bones and his conversion. For that, he's expressing gratitude. So please look with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy, beginning in verse 1, and we'll read to the end in toward the end in verse 17. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is a love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussions, desiring to be teachers of the law, without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they are making confident assertions. Now we know that the law is good, if one uses it lawfully. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory, the blessed God, with which I have been entrusted. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we pray that you would bless the reading and preaching of your word with the working of your Holy Spirit in us. Grant us eyes to see and ears to hear your truth, so that we may be channels of your grace to others. But most of all, we pray for understanding, that we might love you with all of our mind, soul, and strength. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In the study of our New Testament passage this evening, I'd like to consider the passage in two questions. First, I'd like to see how Paul answers the question, how does Paul's testimony, how does his testimony teach Timothy about the truth of the gospel? Remember the context is false teaching. And so Paul wants to correct that by giving his testimony and see how that is an example of the true effects of believing in the true gospel. So the first thing that Paul's testimony teaches Timothy is guilt. Guilt. In verse 13, Paul gives the reason why he's so thankful for the strength he received from Christ to be an apostle. In verse 13, he writes that formerly he was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent of Christ and his church. In listing these sins, he's associating himself with the previous list of sins he made beginning back in verse 9. Paul is describing that the law was laid down for people like him. The disobedient, the lawless, the ungodly, and the sinners. But the irony is that Paul thought that he was obeying God's will. Formerly, when he was Saul, he was imprisoning those blasphemers who worshipped Jesus as Yahweh. But after his conversion, Paul was given literally eyes to see, but also spiritually. He saw that the law was never intended to be used for gaining righteousness, for achieving one's own salvation through works of the law. Rather, the law was laid down for sinners that through the enlightening of the Holy Spirit, sinners might come to know their need for a Savior in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So this was the case for Paul. Through the proper use of the law, Paul came to know his true guilt. But when he says he received mercy because he was blaspheming, persecuting, and attacking the church, he says that he was acting ignorantly in unbelief. So was Paul somehow not really guilty because he didn't know any better? Because he was on the wrong spiritual team? Did God give Paul a pass because he just was ignorant? No, even in a human courtroom, ignorance isn't a good excuse for breaking the law, for being guilty in the eyes of the judge, and much less in the eyes of God. Rather, Paul says that he received mercy after acting ignorantly in unbelief because he was not sinning against God with a high hand. In the Old Testament law, sins were more wicked if an Israelite knew the law, yet chose to sin against God anyway, as opposed to someone who broke the law unknowingly out of ignorance. So ultimately, Paul is emphasizing God's mercy in contrast to his sinfulness. And he's saying how unworthy he was to be chosen and saved and be made an apostle because of his sin. This is why in verse 15, he considers himself to be the foremost of sinners. Paul is using his testimony to highlight for Timothy that the true gospel, the right doctrine of salvation, is to believe that the law was given so that men and women would come to know their own wickedness, to see their sin, and then recognize their need for a Savior. Paul is in effect saying, because I was given new spiritual eyes, I can see my guilt, my own sinful condition, and my need for a Savior, I thank Christ all the more for his mercy and grace in saving me and calling me to his mission as an apostle. So the first thing Paul's testimony teaches Timothy is the truth of the gospel and man's sin. This brings us to the second point that Paul is trying to make to Timothy about the truth of the gospel is God's grace. There are at least two ways which Paul describes the working of Christ's grace in his life. The first was God's grace in Christ seen in his commission to gospel ministry. And the second is Paul's conversion. In verse 12, Paul writes, "Christ judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent." Christ judged Paul faithful even before his conversion. How is it that that Paul was faithful before his conversion at the same time he was a blasphemer? God's grace. Paul is not in and of himself faithful. He was set apart from Christ by his sin. But he labors to make the point that I was sinful, yet by God's grace I was counted faithful to be a minister of his word. Paul's faithfulness was only possible because of the Spirit's working in Paul's life. As Augustine once said, "God does not choose anyone who is worthy, but in choosing him, renders him worthy." Paul's faithfulness was a result of God's gracious, regenerating, justifying, and sanctifying grace in his life. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain." So the first grace of Christ is seen in his call to be an apostle. But the second grace of Christ was also seen in his conversion. And we see this in verses 14 and 15, where Paul says to Timothy, "And the grace of God overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost." The Greek word which Paul uses here to describe this overflowing grace has it relates to the concept of a flooded vessel. John Stott described this overflowing grace as a river that cannot be contained, but it bursts over its banks, carrying everything before it. Flooding, it sweeps irresistibly on. What the river of God's grace brought with it as it flooded was not devastation, but blessing. In particular, the blessings of faith and love. And John Stott goes on and says that God's grace was like a river that overflows and produces in it, after this flood, fruits of faith and love as a result. God's grace flooded Paul's heart with faith, which was previously a heart filled with unbelief. And God flooded Paul's heart with love, which was a heart that was previously filled with much hatred for Christ and his church. So what was the manifestation of God's grace in Paul's life? Or better yet, who is the manifestation of God's grace in Paul's life? Paul says that this grace is none other than the eternal Son of God incarnate, Jesus Christ. And in contrast to the abundance of untrustworthy false teaching that pervaded Ephesus, Paul is saying in verse 15 that this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Jesus came to save sinners. in light of Paul's sinful past, Paul shares with Timothy his testimony and the summary of God's grace to guilty sinners in the person and work of Jesus Christ. This grace, as we have seen, is both in his call to gospel ministry and in his conversion experience. And in our passage so far, we've seen that this highlights the truth of the gospel and the guilt of men, the grace of God. But in addition to this, we see that Paul's testimony was used by God to teach Timothy that gratitude is a right response, and God alone is worthy of this gratitude. Paul prays in verse 17 to the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul's arguing that only through the light of the gospel can sinful men become saints. Look at me, the Apostle Paul, foremost of sinners. Only through the true gospel, in contrast to this false teaching that's being spread in Ephesus, only through the true gospel can someone like Paul, who considered himself to be the foremost of sinners, be saved by divine grace and commissioning for gospel ministry. And as a result, Paul praises him who saved him and made him an apostle, but also an example of God's patience to all those who would come after him. Paul's testimony taught Timothy many things about the gospel, but primarily it taught that the gospel truths of man's guilt, God's grace, but also the gratitude that God deserves from us. Paul's testimony is another way in which, for Christ's sake, Paul delighted in his own weakness, knowing that it magnifies the glory of Christ. So in addition to these gospel truths, Paul also in our passage answers the question, what does this testimony teach us today? Paul is not the only author of this epistle. The Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul, which gives our passage meaning for us today as well. That applies to appreciating God's grace in our lives. But one of the primary things that the Apostle Paul teaches us today is in verse 16, where the Apostle Paul writes, "But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." Paul's testimony teaches us another one of God's glorious attributes, his patience. If you were here for Pastor Nance's sermon on patience in his mini-series, you might remember this. But Pastor Nance pointed out how God's patience is related to his being slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. One of the earliest and clearest teachings in the Bible regarding God's patience is from the account of God's proclaiming who he is to Moses in Exodus 34. Yahweh said of himself that he is a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And later, when the Israelites continued to disobey Yahweh, Moses prays on behalf of Israel, and he appeals to God's grace in claiming the promise that God indeed is slow to anger, not allowing his wrath to consume Israel after repeated offenses. But ever since then, God has endured with much patience generation after generation of sinful man. The German theologian Erwin Bobbing describes God's patience as the goodness of God, which spares those who are deserving of punishment. And one of the fundamental parts of Paul's testimony is this display of Christ's perfect patience. Paul was using his testimony to say that he was just like Israel. Because of his guilt, he was worthy of God's wrath. But God refrained because of who he was. He's slow to anger, patient, perfect in patience. Paul says, I receive mercy for this reason, to display the perfect patience of God. Paul is saying that he received this grace so that he might be a trophy of God's grace to all those who would come after him. Or as Pastor Nance said in his sermon, if you can't tell that, I rewatched that sermon. This is a quote. Paul was a walking billboard displaying the patience of God. Paul is using his testimony to say that if God can save me, the foremost of sinners, the one who zealously tested Christ's patience time and time again, he can save you too. He can save you if you recognize your guilt, turn to him in repentance, and flee to Christ in faith. So what does Paul's testimony teach us today? Paul's testimony teaches us that Christ came to save sinners. And if Jesus can save Paul, he can save you. Will you confess your guilt, turn to him in repentance, and flee to Christ in faith? Maybe you have one or more person in your life whom you love, but you might think they're just too far gone. They're just too entrenched in sin that you can never imagine them giving up their way of life and turning to Christ. I encourage you, as Christ has exhibited his perfect patience in Paul, pray for them. Have patience. And if you have the opportunity, witness to them. Only in Christ can sinners become saints. Paul is encouraging us that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Not only bad sinners, but really, really bad sinners. Like the Apostle Paul was in his rebellion against Christ. And because we have Christ as our high priest, Hebrews tells us that he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. May Paul's testimony of God's amazing grace lead us to find our hope in Christ alone. In response to God's mercy and grace, may we seek to live every day in thankful obedience to his will. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Our great God, we are so humbled to know you providentially use even our past sins for your good purposes. So we praise you for your perfect patience towards us. And we thank you that in your mercy you did not give us what we justly deserve, but the anger and wrath which our sins stirred up was poured out, not on us, but upon yourself, our great Savior, Christ Jesus. And by your Spirit, we pray that you will help us to walk in the light of this truth, and holding out hope for those who feel hopeless, and in responding to your amazing grace with hearts and lives of obedient gratitude. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.